an evening filled with paranormal, special guests, interviews, haunting stories, creatures of the unknown, and tales that will chill you to the bone. Brought to you by the UPRN Network and Pittsburgh Paranormal Society. Take a walk into the night with Sean Kelly.
Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Sean Kelly. Welcome to Into the Night. And we're on UPRN Radio 105.3 out of New Orleans. And how's your night going? My night's great. Back on Chasing Prophecy, the last show I was on, we had a good show. We talk about shamans and stuff like that. And John Moore, pretty good dude, man. He had a lot to have to say. But just start off the show as usual. Everything's okay with me, and I hope everything is okay with you. We survived Thanksgiving, and I hope everyone had a really, really good Thanksgiving. Mine was quiet. In fact, mine was kind of easy. When I worked for the other company, I always worked on Thanksgiving, and it was terrible. So I was tired and I really couldn't enjoy my turkey dinner or spend some time with the family. But the new company I'm with, I actually had 2 days off in a row, Wednesday, Thursday, and a half a day on Friday. So it was pretty weird. It was pretty good. Weird, crazy, whatever you want to say. But it was well worth it. I guess I deserve it. Anxiety is going away a little bit, but I'll still be taking that medication. But I want everybody to know that you all are in my prayers. You are. To all the people that listen to my show. So you're not alone. You're not alone at all. So tonight I got an interesting show. Joni last week wanted me to talk about how I formed Pittsburgh Paranormal Society, and I really didn't get a good reason or, you know, a reason why I started it and stuff. But tonight I'm going to talk about how we got started, some of the decent fun investigations we did at the beginning, and the do's and don'ts of investigating. And we're going to go from there. So sit back and, you know, enjoy the show. And it's 11:33 where I'm at, so God only knows what time it is where you're at. But okay, now getting to the show. How did we start PPS, or how did I start PPS? Well, back in the year 2006, which was a long time ago, I took a trip to Gettysburg in February. And it was cold up there, but I was really, really, really getting into it. And I decided, why not go? You know, it's history. And so I decided to go up in February, and then when I was up there for a couple of days, I learned that they had some ghost tours going on, and I thought that was pretty interesting. So I decided to go. I think it was Nesbitt's, John Nesbitt, Mark Nesbitt's ghost tour. And so that night I went on a tour, and it was great, you know. Did I see any ghosts? Did I feel any ghosts? No, I didn't. Not at all. But the stories that up there on his tour, they're pretty interesting. And so right then and there, I got the bug. I saw a couple people, you know, shooting with their cameras, trying to pick up maybe a ghost or something like that. Nothing happened that night with that, with the other people taking photos, because they all, you know, went through them after the tour was over with. And so from that next day I decided, why not go buy one of them cameras that you get from like Rite Aid or CBS, wherever. You know, you just take it out and you start shooting pictures and see what happens. Wow, I did that. Okay. And I didn't get nothing at all. Nothing at all. A lot of black pictures because I didn't have the flash on or whatever. It was just crazy. But just going out there and taking pictures, it got the sense that, hey, this is like pretty cool, you know, and I really enjoyed it. And it was funny too, because my first roll of film that I took up there, I had to get it developed right away. I did. And unfortunately, nothing happened, but the excitement was there. It was like, wow, this is like so cool. And as I was up there, the different places I was at and taking pictures, I found out the history. And that intrigued me a lot about the history of the different day one, day two, day three of the battle, like Pickett's Charge, up where the high water mark was, where the Confederates were, you know, marching to break through the Union line. And then there was Devil's Bend, and then there was Little Round Top. And so it was pretty interesting. But unfortunately, I didn't get no pictures. But you know what? It was okay. I enjoyed myself. So I come back, Pittsburgh, and then I used to hang out at a little restaurant called Eaton Park. It's a chain restaurant. And my friend Carmen, she's a waitress up there. And I said to her, I told her where I was and what I was doing. And she was like really, really cool with it. And so we decided to start the Pittsburgh Paranormal Society back in March of 2006. And so as we were starting, when we started, I went on to a website called meetup.com. And what happened was I just put in there looking for people who want to investigate ghosts. You know, not thinking, you know, people would want to do that. But come to find out, a lot of people wanted to do it. And that was great. So with the help of Carmen, we set up our very, very first investigation. And we went to a cemetery. And it was up in Monroeville. They're not sponsors, so they're not sponsoring me on the show, but the place is called Restland Cemetery, R-E-S-T-L-A-N-D Cemetery. And there was a ghost up there, and it's all in the books, urban legends about the ghost Walking Rosie. The story behind Walking Rosie up there, there was a couple kids were having a party, and they were drunk, and so they took her tombstone and they threw it over the hill. And the legend goes that she just walks through that cemetery all the time trying to find her headstone. Now, have I seen her out there? Because we've gone out there many, many, many times. And, you know, to be honest with you, I think I did. And at some times. But I really, really couldn't tell, because you figure it was a cemetery and it could have been somebody else's ghost. Who knows? But that was our starting point, was Restland. And I really, really didn't really know where to go in Pittsburgh, because I was working 6 days a week. But I was intrigued with the ghost hunting. So, of course, what I do, go out and buy some more good cameras and K2 meters. And there was like, 20 of us were in the group I started out with. And so we go to Restland Cemetery every weekend. You know, the people up there were pretty cool about it. And we got a lot of stuff. It was like an introduction to the paranormal investigating. And back at that time, TAPS was starting. I don't know. I think they started a year before or whatever. But I never watched one of their shows. Never did. Maybe one or two, but I don't know. For some reason, I just got this strange feeling something wasn't right there. So like I said before, we started off going to a wrestling cemetery, and it was a lot of fun. But I had no place to go. I didn't know where to go. And so I went on the website and for haunted places in Pennsylvania. And I found this place. It was called Blue Mist Road. It was up in McCandless, PA. Now, the history behind Blue Mist Road was at before it became North Park, the state park. It was a farmland, and on that farmland, now I'm not sure if it's true. You know, I read some other different type of things, but with a certain group that weren't really nice to African Americans were back there, and they would hang, you know, Native American people and African American. I'm sorry, forgive me. Sorry about that, but African Americans. And the first time I went down there, my God, did I get scared. I was nervous. I actually can say I was nervous about going there. There was also stories of Satanism that happened down there, witchcraft, or a lot of bad things, a lot of really bad things. And so we went with my group, I guess. We decided to go down Blue Mist Road. And what happened was, it was creepy as hell. No shit. I mean, seriously. And with a bunch of amateurs just going down and doing some, you know, doing ghost hunting, it was something. But what I learned to do was to trust what I heard, what I felt, and what I've seen, what I smelled too. And there were times that I walked on there and I just got like goosebumps all up and down my body, you know. And it was really weird because you walked on this path, this road, okay. You got woods and the hill on one side, and then you got this creek that runs to the left. And you're walking down this road, and you just feel like you're being watched. And that was crazy. I mean, I'll tell you what, at that time, I got a digital camera, and I know, that I took like over 200 pictures, and I just kept snapping and snapping and snapping and snapping everywhere I felt. I thought something was there, I would be snapping. And we ran into a couple things there the first time down there. I felt like there's like when you walk down the road, you come to a crossroad, make a right, you go up, and there's a house that's on the right. And then if you go to the left and follow the path, I do believe that was like a buggy track. You know, it wasn't big enough for a car. It was just enough for a horse and buggy. And if you make one up left and follow that path, there was a house up there, abandoned. And and then continue walking straight forward, you know, continue on that path. Then you come to the tree. It's called the hanging tree. Well, when I hit that crossroads down there, all of a sudden I felt this, you know, like I call them my spidey senses. My spidey senses, man, I'm telling you what, they were going off the charts, hairs and standing off my hand, on my arms, and it was creepy. And somebody took a picture. I said, please take a picture. Take them. Someone did. And there was this huge, huge orb right behind me. It was huge. And I started, you know, like asking questions out loud. And I think nobody had EVPs going on at the same time. No one had EVPs back then. It was just cameras they had. And come to find out through the questions, and not so much everybody hearing what the spirit said, I could hear the answers in my head. And at that time, believe me or not, I got 30 years of sobriety. So my brain was okay. I wasn't on no drugs or hallucinating or nothing like that. But I started to hear this bear talk to me. He was a black African, a big black African American. And he was real nice. Really, really nice. And he just sat there with me. And he just started talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. And you know what? That was back in 2006. So really, honestly, I forget what he said. But all I know is that the more that I went back there, the more I felt safe. Because I know he was there. And I know he was there protecting me. You know, whenever you go to a place and you're investigating, if you treat the spirit with respect, and if you treat them like a human being, okay, honestly, in return, they're going to, you know, be nice to you, treat you nice, and respect you. So that was our home away from home for ghost hunting, Blue Mist Road and Restland Cemetery. And I had a lot of good times. In fact, whenever I would bring new members in, they'd have to go to, I'd take them to Blue Mist Road in order to get, like, indoctrinated into the group. Because it was creepy. And if you're listening from Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania or whatever, or anywhere else, if you decided, you know, you want to go to Blue Mist Road, just leave me a message and we'll go from there. But I still like to go there now and there. Because I guess you want to call it nostalgic, you know? Yeah. So nostalgic. And I still go up there, and that spirit up there is still there. And it's cool. And he's right there at the crossroads waiting to meet me. I forget his name. Like I said, it's been a long time ago. But so that was Blue Mist Road, and we caught a lot of pictures. Now, I have a lot of CDs at the house, in my house, and I just bought a new computer, and it don't have a CD player in it, but I'm going to somehow try to find out how I can get all my pictures on, because I'm really interested in seeing what I caught a long time ago. But the very, very first picture that... Yes, they do, John. Yeah, they do remember. Yeah, we got to take you up there one night, John, honestly. But I remember we're at Wrestling Cemetery, and the very first orb picture I got. Now, here at this restaurant, Eaton Park, they have what you call smiley cookies. And they're just a like a sugar cookie with a smiley face on them. So Carmen, she took a picture, and I call it the pissed off smiley cookie, because it was an orange orb and it wasn't happy at all that we were there. So that was like the biggest, best picture that I ever got. Well, Carmen got it. And so as we were, you know, doing wrestling in Blue Mist Road, up in Moraine State Park, there's also a place called Snyder, S-N-Y-D-E-R, Cemetery. Now, that was a really, really hot spot for to get pictures with ghosts. And so we went up there. In fact, I do have a couple pictures. So maybe tomorrow I'm going to put them up on my Facebook page, and you can see them there. But that was a very creepy. It was real small. Maybe I want to say 100 by 100, something like that. It was real small. It was a family one. And what was really cool about it too, because where the cemetery was, off to the right is the foundation of the house that was there. But the house isn't there no more. But it was pretty cool. But for the longest time, that's what we did. We did cemeteries. We did urban legends. Now, there's one place that's really big here in Pittsburgh, and it's called 13 Bends. And the story about 13 Bends is there was an orphanage where it burned down. And there were little kids that got killed. They got burned to death there. And according to all the ghost people, that there are four different areas where 13 Bends could be. People are saying it's around Coulter Cemetery. That's another cemetery that's pretty creepy. But I never got to make it to 13 Bends. No matter, you know, I've been to two of them that were supposed to be, but of course, we counted the bends, and there was never 13, it was always 12. But you know what? Maybe I wasn't supposed to go to that place, you know, stuff like that. They want to say up around Fox Chapel, they say that's the one that where 13 Bends is, that's the legitimate one. Some people say it's in Elizabeth, PA, down here by Coulter Cemetery. And there's a couple other places that they meant bought up. But I really don't know. But, you know, so it was crazy because at the time, cool. We got to talk about it, Jen. Honestly, if you know what I'm talking about, that'd be great. Yeah, I need to go. But, you know, as time went on, and as with every group, you know, a lot of people, they would, like I said, TAPS was going on at the time. And a lot of people were so intrigued on it. And so they all wanted to do ghost hunting. But they come to find out that it's boring. Honest to God, ghost hunting is boring as hell. Because you're at a place taking pictures that something is not there, okay? And it's awful quiet and you're really not talking. And so, especially the young kids, they lasted two investigations. That would be it, two or three. And that was it. Which is okay. You know, some stayed on, some didn't, some formed for other groups. And I'd have to say since 2006 till now, I had over 150 people in my group that came in and out. A lot of them left. They started, Trish, come to Pittsburgh, buddy. We'll take you. You know, or maybe next year we're trying to find a place. Maybe we might take a ride out of Kansas. Who knows? That'd be cool. Yeah. Go to one of them old ghost towns. Jenny Nicasio and Trish Moe, they were my co-hosts on Chasing Prophecy, the show that comes on before us. But, no, they never lasted. They just did their own thing. But what brings me, well, another place that was really big was Green Man Tunnel. It's out there in South Park. Around there. There's actually two tunnels, okay? One is called Corvette Tunnel. That's on the right. And then they have another tunnel right beside that. It's called the Green Man Tunnel. And that's filled with salt. And it was claimed that a guy got electrocuted. He was working on the power lines, and somehow he got electrocuted and his space to form. You know, that is a true story about the Green Man. But so we decided to go out there, and it was very, filled with salt. But I know that the spirits, you know, they can't cross into it, but I guess they figured that's where PennDOT puts all their salt, so they can salt for the snow. But it's, Trish, honest to God, you got to read up on it. It's a pretty cool story. So that's about the Green Man Tunnel. And so it was great. It was, you know, getting warm. We went to different places and we investigated, you know, not knowing what we're going to get. You know, we're just doing it for fun, something to do on a Saturday night or Friday night. But I just remembered that one day me and there was Carmen's friends, and we went up the Blue Mist Road. It was in the daytime. And so that path I told you earlier that took you to the house to the left, which was abandoned, well, come to find out, the roof fell in on top of the house. And so what happened was the boys, they went out and they had those cameras. And the ones that you got from Rite Aid and stuff, and started snapping. And it was kind of eerie because you just saw eyes look upon you. That whole area up there is creepy. So the next day, it was a Saturday, you know, morning. So, yeah, Saturday morning we went out and took pictures. So every Sunday we would go to eat park and have dinner. And they were so excited. They coming in, Sean, you got to see this. You got to see this picture. So what happened is kid took a picture with them cameras. He took three pictures. And I was right next to him when he took those pictures. And two of the other guys were on the roof. Okay. And he snapped taking a picture of them. So they come barreling in Eaton Park. And they sat down and he said, you got to see this. You got to see this. Boom. The last three pictures that the kid took, there was no negatives. There was no pictures at all. It was totally blank. And that was like really sweet. You know, I think it was not creepy, but I thought that was cool. But it to know that watching them taking pictures with these kids on the roof and not even getting a negative off of that. You know, it was just like a force field or some kind of wall, invisible wall built up around this house so that nothing could happen. There's a lot of negative energy up in that area, so who knows what could have happened. So as time went on, I hope I'm not boring y'all to death, but as time went on, it was October 2006. And we did our first house investigation. And it was down in a little town called Elkhorn, PA. Actually, it's Dreboseburg or Elizabeth. And it's Molnar's Marina. She went my town. In fact, she's in my group. She's an OG. So we went down there, and it was great. We actually did a house. The ghost down there, they used to call him Captain. Okay, he used to call him Captain. And I mean, the stories I could tell you from that investigation were crazy. In her living room, you sit down, she has like this fan ceiling thing going on in the light. And Sue, she said to the captain, make that turn, go this way. Sure enough, this, I guess the light switch or the pulley, whatever, went shh, shh, shh. And everyone's looking at it like, oh my God, check it out. And so Sue, it was great. It was my first investigation doing the house. And I never really advertised because I didn't want to advertise because A, I was broke, and B, I just didn't know how to do it. But Sue told her friends, and her friends told her friends, and told, and you know, and so on and so on. And so we were like investigating two times a week down in Elizabeth, PA. There's a funeral home down there that we went to, which was so cool. So cool. We did that two or three times. And trust me, yeah. I was hoping to find something in the embalming room, but nothing at all. And we just, like, the person who owned the funeral home lived on top of the funeral home. So we investigated it, and nothing come out of it. Maybe an orb here, a mist there, something like that. But it was fun. And what really, really, you know, got me that I really liked about investigating is that I got to go to different places and investigate. And I started to meet people who I am friends with still today. And that was, what, close to 16, 17 years ago. And I think it was really cool. So with Sue spreading and the word of mouth going on, people started to find out about the Pittsburgh Paranormal Society, and they started to find out, you know, and the papers found out, and radio shows, and news in the morning, they found out about me, and all of a sudden, I started to get big, you know. I was starting to get known in the Pittsburgh area about ghost hunting, because really, it, like I said, no one really experienced it, or nobody was really actually doing it in Pittsburgh at the time I formed a group. So it just got us a lot of recognition, and it got us to places where nobody else could. Not the Pittsburgh Playhouse, but Point Park. Point Park University had a place where people put on plays. And we were the only investigate group to go in there and investigate, which was pretty cool. And didn't really get nothing much, but you know what? The history behind the place and actually being the first people to go down there, it was interesting. Trust me, there was a lot of good things happened, you know, in the early parts of 2006 up to 2010, doing radio shows, doing TV news, always getting articles written up among me. And but at the time, I never, ever, ever got an ego. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. You'd have to ask people back then. Maybe I don't know. But what happened was some of the group members that I had, they started, you know, I don't want to say jealous, because they just didn't like the way I was investigating. And they preferred doing, again, TAPS, ghost hunters. Now, at the time, ghost hunters became really, really big. And you can join their group as a TAPS family member. And all these groups started to form up around Pittsburgh. And I'm like, God, this is cool. I'm not the only one doing it. But they became TAPS family members, thinking that they're part of TAPS and they're going to get all these investigations. And, you know, and all it was them being on their website. That was about it. Now, for some groups, it was cool. Some groups, we never saw eye to eye. And for me, okay, it wasn't that I was egotistical and didn't want to share none of my stuff with people. That's totally absolutely wrong, because I wanted to help other people. In fact, I wanted to have paranormal unity. I'm like, This is someone saying people are so damn jealous because you got this photo or you'll see you got that video. And I'm thinking, nah, you don't need that. I'm here to help you if you need help. But they never wanted to. All they wanted to do was cause a lot of trouble and a lot of pain in the ass stuff. So I kind of tried to stay away from it. But I couldn't because they kept pounding me. And I never did become a TAPS family member. If you're a TAPS family member, they don't believe in orbs. I do. Okay. Now I know that the orbs there's dew, and then there's raindrops and mist and dew, and who knows? Different types of things can cause orbs when you're taking a photograph of it. But the ones that I consider legitimately a pure spirit in an orb form is when, A, you have a personal experience that when you took the picture, that a personal experience, you caught this orb. And they have to be as bright as can be. To me, that's an orb. That's a spirit. So those are the ones that I do take. But, you know, there was so much bickering or so much fighting because they wanted to be the best group. They wanted to get the best picture. And my ex-girlfriend, we were at a house in Eastern Keysport, and she was taking a video of the bedroom. And she was panning, you know, she couldn't see nothing in the video. So 25 minutes later, she's screaming. I was not sure she was upstairs. And she said, Sean, get up here. Sean, get up here. And as she was showing me the video, you just saw a picture of a girl standing in a closet. I do have that picture, too. And that was like the best picture we ever caught. At that time. We've gotten many more since then, but to me that was the first one. And that was, it wasn't creepy. It was like, oh wow, there's this girl. You know, like I said, if you want to, you can go to my Facebook page and I'll post some pictures up, you know, tomorrow, the next day, whatever. And when people started to see that picture, then the animosity became a lot more intense, because they would actually say, that's not a spirit, that was somebody in your group, that was this, that was that. And you know what? It wasn't, you know. And I'm thinking, why are you bickering with me? Why do you have to, you know, take me down a couple pegs because I got to, well, so you got the picture. And I'm thinking, you know what? I don't need this crap no more. And so what I did was I completely kept away from the paranormal community here in Pittsburgh. It wasn't worth all the aggravation. It wasn't. But I'm just thinking of another one just popped into my mind. The Carnegie Library down in Carnegie is very, very haunted. And one day we were asked to do a little mini investigation, but with a certain news station there. And I was like, this is like really cool. So we went down there and we started the investigation, and the news reporters was interviewing us. And all of a sudden, and my techie guy, Russ, he caught this on film. You actually see an orb, well, how'd it go? Went through her body and not through her head. And she, he got real nervous. And she got, see, it was a she. I'm not gonna, you know, it was a she. But she got real nauseous. And she told us afterwards that she felt very, very sick, and that she never really, she was a skeptic about you know, the ghost, and paranormal. And then that experience that she had that time, you know, made her a believer, you know. Now, you know, a lot of people at the time were saying, oh, you got to get pictures, you got audio, video, whatever. And you know what? It's great if you catch something on pictures or video. I mean, you have to sit down for 8 hours looking at video of a camera not moving. And then you got to sit there and look at 400 pictures that you've taken and try to figure out what you got in those 400 pictures. But my motto was, what I thought was, I could take 400 or 500 pictures, and if I got one decent video picture out of that, I was happy. But it was just too much. I remember sitting like on Sunday night just looking at all these pictures, and I'm like, do I really, really want to go through all this? Do I really want to go? And I do eventually. But when it comes to skeptics, I'm not there to change their minds about ghost hunting. I'm not. If they believe, they believe. If they don't, they don't. You know, that's their choice. You know, I'm there to tell them my experience, what I experienced, you know, by seeing ghosts. And a couple times I invited them on a couple investigations, and they came. And they were really, really debunking everything, this and that, until they had a personal experience. And when they had that personal experience, it didn't change their minds, okay? But they knew there's something not right about being there, okay? And it's not that I was like trying to get a reaction or tell them, oh, you're right, Tony. I wasn't. I just wanted to bring them along and have them experience what I experienced during the investigations. So, you know, if you're a skeptic, fine, that's great, you know. But I'm not here to change your mind. I'm not. So we do have a motto in the group, and that is, I will respect what you believe in, but just please respect what I believe. And you know what? That goes many, many, many ways. So there was a couple more I want to talk about, which is crazy. They were crazy ones. We're up in Monroe. Monroeville must be a haunted area because we were up there. Now, I'm going to set the story for you, okay? Whenever we would go do an investigation, we would do a walkthrough, which means we would go 2-3 days before the actual investigation. And at the time, my girlfriend, we would go to these walkthroughs. So the story behind this was, the guy was married, and his wife was a nurse. And she was working at the time. And so this guy, he was pulling out of his driveway and got, I think it was Mossside Boulevard. He just turned on Mossside and he got a phone call from his house where nobody was there. And it left a message. So he was driving, he didn't want to hear the message until he got to work. And so he finally got to work, and he was like really nervous and shook up. And he said to his secretary, can you listen to this message? And she did listen to the message. And she was even shook up. The message said, and kill the nurse. Kill the nurse. And that really, really creeped him out because his wife is a nurse. So that's when the secretary got a hold of me and my girlfriend up at the time. We went up there, and so we did our walkthrough. And Doreen, she liked to do EVPs. So we did the walkthrough. saw some pretty crappy, not crappy, but pretty scary stuff. So on that side, AMC's in the car listening to the EVPs, and I'm talking to the client, setting up a date whenever we'll be there. And she just comes barreling out of the car. And she says, "Sean, you got to listen to this. So, okay, relax. She was like so excited, man. It was like she was like riding like a magic carpet to the moon. It was pretty cool. So she played back the EVP. She asked the question, "How old are you?" And you can hear the man say, 93. And when the client heard that voice and that age, he was in tears. That was his father who passed away. And he never did like his wife. And it was like, whoa, because we compared the answer, the message he got on his phone compared to that voice, and it was exactly his father's voice. And so we did go back up there for the investigation. That was a crazy one because we got a lot of good stuff there. But the craziest thing was that we were walking up the steps, and as we got up to the steps, the cross fell off the wall. It literally fell off the wall. And the way, and what happened was, if you looked at the nail, how the cross was being hung on the wall, you'd actually have to lift it up and throw it off the wall. That's the only way that cross could come off. And it was laying on the floor with his face down. "Hey, Doreen, how are you? Talking about you, hon." "Talking about you." And it's all good. Just telling people about our investigations a long time ago. So that's really about, I've been to many, 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 many investigations. And it's like each one was different. Our main purpose, well, yes, they were good times, Doreen. Yes, they were. It's not that I was into the paranormal for being the best paranormal investigator out there. My whole deal was to help people. And I'm going to share one more story with you, and then I'm going to have to get going here. Times I'm gonna stop, like Jenny says, it's the witching hour. But one time I got a phone call from a client, and she said she got to hear this story. So we went over, and here she was telling us that her little girl was in her room, and she was like playing with her toys. And the mom was kind of nervous because she didn't hear no noises from her. So the mother went up and decided to check on her. And she opened the door, and her little daughter turned around and said, "Hi, Mommy." She goes, "Hi." And she goes, "I want you to meet my friend Johnny." And there was nobody there. Nobody. And that's how she got into calling me. So we went there, we investigated the house. I cleared the spirits out of there. It was a bad ghost. It was a bad ghost that was controlling all the other ghosts that were hanging out in the house. So you got to think about it, right? That ghosts were people too. And even though they're dead and they're in spirit, especially the ones that are not being repetitious, but the ones that are intelligent, they didn't know what to do about this bad ghost. Now, this is a true story. I mean, I'm being honest with you. I wouldn't lie to you. And So what they did was that they sent this little ghost kid, Johnny, in order for her mother to realize what was happening and for us to get over there. And that it was good. And what was really sweet about that was a long time ago. But 2 years ago, I received an email from that woman, and she moved to the other side of the state. And what happened was she just wanted to say thank you for helping her family out. And that's all I need. You know, I'm not in it for the glory. Doreen knows that. I'm just in there to help people out, you know. So let me text my boss, tell him I'm almost done here. So let me text him. I'm done. I hope everybody enjoyed the show. And I will definitely see you next week. And hopefully we'll have a guest on. All right. So everybody, have a happy day. Have a happy evening. And God bless you. Okay. And happy hunting. Bye-bye. Now we wait for Job. And now we wait for Job. And I'm just going to sign out. So how's everybody? We're still live. And I don't know. Pretty soon Joe's going to stop the show. And I hope everyone enjoyed yourself tonight. Yeah, I'm very, very sleepy. Very, very sleepy. But Doreen, weren't they good times, though? Huh? Those are some good times investigating. And Augie, if you're still on, thank you for, you know, setting up the Christmas party for us down there. And one day I'm going to have to get Doreen on the show. All right, and we can reminisce about old time. If she's up for it, you know, if she's up for it, she can stay up this late. But it looks like Joe's just kind of busy right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave the studio. Thank you again, everybody, tonight. And again, happy hunting. Good night, everybody. Okay? Bye-bye.